This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
When you are looking at Romans chapter 1, we're going to parade and peruse the periphery of verse 15, 16, and 17. Amen. When you have that, I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Romans chapter 1, verse 15 says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's look at verse 18 too, just in case. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Amen. Amen. That's just in case we go that far. Amen. What I want to preach to you this morning and use the thought of the title, the gospel, the power of the preached word. Amen. The gospel, the power of the preached word. Amen. Amen. So Paul here in the book of Romans, we find that Paul has written this letter to the Romans because he's on his way to die for this gospel. He's on his way to die for what he believed. And saying that, I know, you know, we think about that and we think about it as not something up close and personal with us, because there's not too many of us in here today that would die for what we believe. Amen. There was a story that there was a preacher that was in church, and he said, how many of you would give your life for the gospel? And people raised their hand, and 5 minutes later, two men came in with hoods on and guns. And they said, whomever in here believes in Jesus Christ and willing to stand up for it, do it now and lose your life. And nobody stood except for the preacher. Everybody, he said, everybody just leave, and everybody walked out. And soon enough, two deacons took their hoods off and said, okay, pastor, we real now. We can have church. Many of us would have been just like those people. We would not have given our life for what we believe. And the fact is that many of us, when our friends say something that is contrary to what we believe, we let it go and slide, and we try to side with them and compromise what we believe just to get along with them. Nowadays, we can't afford to do that, because what type of example are we setting for our children? What type of example are we setting as Christians? Amen. But Paul decided that I could be free. I could go and hide from this. But Paul says when they prophesied to him several times and told him that he was going to go to Rome and die if he didn't, escape or leave. And Paul said, don't cry for me. Don't worry about me. But I'm not only willing to be bound for the gospel, but I'm willing to die for it. That's what we call strong belief. That's what we call strong faith. And we wonder why our faith is shaky. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to me too. We wonder why we can't get and see the miracles of the day that they saw, because their faith was so much stronger than our faith. Amen. So much stronger, to the point that they went without. They sold things. Amen. You wouldn't sell. Oh, my goodness. If we sell cakes for the church, We got to keep some of the money. But they sold land, houses, they sold whatever they had to give to the church. Now, I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm showing you that they had so much faith that it excels our faith. And the reason they saw so many miracles and so many things happen in their life is because their level of faith was so much higher. Amen. Now, Paul, he's on his way to die, so he decides, I'm going to write to the Roman church. I'm going to write to those that are at Rome so that they would know what the gospel is really about. If you have not read the book of Romans, I admonish you to read it, because Romans helps us to understand what Jesus did. It helps us to understand. I always call this Paul's gospel, amen, because we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we have Paul's gospel, because if you read it, you will understand what salvation is. You would understand where we were as human beings. Beings in the fallen state that we were in, and that how God so loved us that he gave Jesus to die for us, and now we are saved by faith. Amen. That we are saved by the faith through grace in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so Paul writes to them, and he begins to talk to them about his apostleship, and he begins to talk to them about mankind, and he talks to them about how we got in the mess that we're in. But he goes on to say, he goes on to talk to them, and he begins to talk to them about, I'm a debtor, in verse 14, to both the Greeks and to the barbarians, and both to the wise and the unwise. Paul is saying this because he's trying to make a point. He says, I owe it to them to preach this gospel to them. If nothing else, we owe it to people to be able, for them to be able to see Christ live on the inside of us. Amen. To live is what? Christ. And to die is gain, amen? And so we owe it to those that are around us that they would be able to see and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. It is good news in the midst of a bad situation. In the bad situation is that we were on our way to a burning hell, but Jesus, with the good news that he brought, that you don't have to go to hell because I made a way for you, and you don't have to work your way to it, but believe your way to it. Too many times we try to work our way to heaven. We try to work it out. We try to make it happen the way that we need or think that it should happen. But Jesus said that he that believeth in me shall be the sons of God. They shall have a right to eternal life. Come on and say amen here. And so he goes on to say in verse 15, he says, I'm ready. How many of you ready to preach the gospel? And I'm not talking about getting behind the pulpit, and I'm not talking about getting behind the podium and in the pulpit, grabbing a microphone, preaching the gospel, but I'm talking about how many of us preach it with our life. How many times have people looked at you and saw that you are a praying person? You are a person of conviction. You are a person that they can say have integrity, and that they will do the right thing. I don't have to keep telling you to do the right thing, because it's in you to do the right thing. Oh, yeah, I don't want somebody to always have to tell me to do what's right, because I'm supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I don't have to have somebody always on me telling me what to do, because the Holy Spirit convicts me. When you don't have any conviction, then you need to check whether or not you truly saved, because we ought to have some conviction at some time on the things that we are not doing correctly. Help me, Holy Ghost. Y'all mighty quiet today. But that's all right. We need to know that if we have the Holy Spirit, he will convict us. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit convicts us, it's up to us to ignore him. We sometimes ignore his promptings and what he says because we have our flesh that we're battling with. Don't you know that the same writer, Paul, the apostle, he said that there is no good thing in me that is in my flesh. He said, when I think to do good, evil is present. The things that I would do, I do not. And that I would not, that's the things I end up doing. There is a battle. There's a war in my members. And guess what? We're going to have the war in our members. But we have to remember that we are filled with the power of God. And since God is in there, he can help us do the things that we couldn't do ourselves. We are filled with the what? Holy Spirit. And so therefore, when it's time to forgive, I can forgive. When it's time to turn the other cheek, I can't do it myself, but he tells me turn. Come on and say amen. He's the one that tells me to pray for those that despitefully uses me. He tells me to give water to those that hate me, water and bread to those that are hungry. Even my enemies, I try to do what I can for them and help them, because it is in me, the Holy Ghost of God is teaching and guiding me on how to be Christ-like. You know what our problem is? We've made our goal heaven. Oh, Oh, y'all looking at me funny. The problem is we made our goal heaven, and our goal is not Christ. Our goal should be Christ. And if our goal is Christ, it'll get us to heaven. Oh, have mercy. Our problem is we got somebody that did us wrong. Now we want to start talking about heaven. I got to get to heaven. I ain't worried about that. Well, you know what? In order to get there, you got to love the enemy. Ooh. You got to do what Christ did. Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And since he said that, he was giving us an example that our goal should be Christ. Paul said this, forgetting those things which are what? Behind, and reaching forth to what is before, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Our goal should be Christ. I said this one time. I used to say I'm going to be the best me that I can be, but how about me be the best Christ I can be? Or the best Christian. Let me say it like that for somebody to get it wrong. That I can be. Amen? And so Paul begins to talk about the good news, about the good news. The good news is the news about the anointed one, the Son of the living God, who came, hung, bled, and died, and he rose again so that we might have a right to the tree of life. Amen? Then Paul goes on to say here, he says in verse number 16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, he said something right there, because there are many people that are ashamed of the gospel. They're ashamed to let folks know that they're saved. They're ashamed to let them know that the power of God is working on the inside of them. They're ashamed. You know, when I first got saved, I didn't really want to talk to my friends about it. When I look at it later on, they start telling me, they say, you know, you always did talk about the Bible. We'll be trying to get drunk or play dominoes, and here you are talking about a scripture or something. And they told me that, but I thought that I was hiding it, because I would, you know, after they'd leave, I would wrestle with what God is saying to me. After they would go about their business, I would wrestle. And so I started to alienate myself, and I started staying all by myself, because I thought that they would not be able to understand or accept me because of what God was doing on the inside. Amen? And so I was a little bit ashamed to tell them that God was doing something in me. Then one day I just busted out, and I did what God wanted me to do. I accepted what God was saying, and I began to tell them. And you know what? I didn't have to alienate myself. They alienated me. They decided they didn't want nothing else to do with me. But do you know that God tells us in his word that if you give up friend or family, or you give up anything for my sake, I'll give it back to you 100-fold. And I look around now, and look how many people I have around me today. Come on and say amen here. And so when we look at the power, he says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We can't be afraid to tell people about Jesus. We can't be afraid to live like Jesus. We can't be afraid to forgive. You know, some people won't forgive because of the pressure of other folks around them. Girl, if I was you, I'd tell them I wouldn't even speak to them no more. Oh yeah, but you know, the Bible tells us that we must forgive, or God will not hear our prayer. You know, that's not a friend telling you to do that and hold that grudge. That can't be your friend, because they don't want you to be Christ-like. They don't want you to make heaven your goal or Christ your goal. I wish I had somebody. And so we have to learn how to not be ashamed to do what God wants us to do. The Bible declares to us, he said, if you're ashamed before men of me, then I'll be ashamed before my Father and the holy angels. I wish I had somebody. We need to know that God looks at us, and he wants to love us and show us the love, but we have to accept what he's already done. Amen? Look at the verse 16. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, let me show you something here. The world that we live in today, we look at what's going on in the world. We look at all the things that are happening, and people who, I was looking at something one day, and people were just all over Louis Farrakhan. They just love what he said, that we need to, you know, the message that Dr. King brought was the wrong message, because it was the message of nonviolence. But the only way to get with this devil and defeat him is to get violent. But I'm thinking, you 80 something years old, and you had your day to do something, and you didn't do it. Oh, I wish I had some. I know y'all been listening to that, and some of y'all quoted that, and some of y'all shared it on your Facebook page. But you got to understand something, that if we're going to be ashamed of the nonviolent movement, which is the movement of love, the movement that Jesus brought to us, amen, then we can't really be Christian, amen, because we can't be ashamed of the way Christ Jesus tells us to live. Oh, my God. He said, it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. Not to everyone that don't believe, but to everyone that what? Believe. So guess what? If you believe this power, this word power, that is the word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. JJ, dynamite. I like that. But he said that this is the power of God unto salvation. This is the dynamite. This is the energy that you need. This is the force that you need. This is the strength that you need. Come on and say, man, we have to understand that when we have the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is what energizes me. This is what makes me want to run on, because I know what the end is going to be. This is that whenever hell breaks loose in my life, I have good news that even when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. When all kinds of stuff form up against me, I have good news, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He didn't say it wouldn't form up. I see it coming my way, but I know it won't prosper. It can't have its way with me. It will not defeat me, because of defeat means to be undone. It will not undo me. It will not take me out of Christ. Come on and say amen. It is the power of God. It is the energy. It is the force. It is the strength of God. And whenever you have God's strength, whenever you have his words, you got his power. That's why we have to have the power of the preached word. He said that the people need to hear preaching. He said, how can they hear except that there be a preaching? How can he preach except he be sent? The only way that you can be empowered, the Bible tells us, is the foolishness of preaching. I know we read our Bible, but guess what? When you hear it preached in your ears, the Bible says that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I can just hear a word right now, come on and say amen. That's why sometime when you're telling yourself those scriptures, when you know you're on edge and you keep quoting the scriptures, sometime it don't really work right away. But when somebody come along and they quote it for you and they say it to you, or they, you know, when you hear it and then something happens on the inside of you and you say, you know what, you write about it, I feel so much better. I believe I can run on. I can run through this mess that they're bringing my way. I've been afflicted, but good news is that the good news says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. Do anybody here feel empowered today? His word is sent to empower us. His word is sent to impact us. His word is sent to us so that we might have a force against the forces of evil. The Bible says that the kingdom suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. How can we take it by force if we don't have the force of his word? The power of God. The power of God. In other words, when you hear the word, you become filled with his power. It should bring us, you know, nowadays they got this thing what they call, you know, vibe. You know, give me a, you know, don't mess up my vibe. That's what we need to tell people at church. Don't mess up my Christian vibe. Because I'm with this. This is making me feel stronger. This is making me feel good. This is bringing me to a place that I haven't been. This is getting me to a place where I believe that I can be more than a conqueror because he loves me. That's good news. Somebody say man here. So we talk about the power of God. He said, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. Now, we understand the power, but here's the purpose of it. The purpose of the word is to bring you salvation. Now, what is salvation? Salvation is safety. So the purpose of the word is to bring you to a safe place. I know you thought that the purpose of the word was to just get you a car, a house, get you a husband or a wife, but the purpose of the word of God is to bring you to safety, amen? Not just that, but it's also to preserve you, to bring you a place of preservation. In other words, there are some elements and some things out there and some spirits out there that are seeking to bring you to a demise. It is seeking to destroy you. The Bible said that the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. And we need to know who our real enemy is. Your enemy is not the human beings. It is not the flesh. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against who? Principalities, powers, evil, wickedness in high places. In other words, there is a devil loose, and we must know how to resist the devil. For the scripture said if we resist the devil, he will what? flee from us. And what the word flee means is that he'll hide from us. Now, how is it that we got the devil running and hiding from us? It is because when we resist the devil, we begin to look like Christ, and we begin to remind him of the spanking that he got over 2,000 years ago. Do I have anybody here? We need to remind the devil that you've been defeated already, that I have the victory in Christ Jesus. Quit letting the devil have your mind. Quit letting the devil have your children. Quit letting the devil have his way in your house. Quit letting the devil have his way on your job. You need to put your feet down, stand firm, and say, look here, devil, you can't have what God has given me. Better yet, we keep letting him have our joy. How can we let the devil have our joy and when he didn't give it to us? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Jesus said, I give you my joy, that your joy might be full, so that I'll be overflowing with joy. He said that I'll give you my joy, and the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And so what else gives us joy except to hear some good news? When somebody calls you on the phone and they give you some good news, you can't wait to get off the phone. You on the phone, you saying, that's some good news. You're saying, thank you, Jesus. You're all happy. And so I came to give you some good news to let you know that the bad news ain't nothing. You just got to hold on and hear the good news, because what God says matters. And he said he sent his word to heal us. He sent his word to prosper the thing at which he sent it. And so God wants us to prosper. We need to know today the purpose of the word. The purpose is not just for safety and preservation, but look, the purpose is for to heal us. He sent his word and what? Healed us. He not only sent his word and healed us, but he sent his word and delivered us. But look at this. What I love about it, he said he sent Jesus. The Bible says in the beginning was the what? Word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. He said, and was not anything made that was made. Come on and say amen. Without the word. Here it is, we're full of the word, and when we get the word on the inside of us, when we have the word in us, then the word in us empowers us to be just like God. You have the created power on the inside of you. Jesus said this in John chapter 15. He said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be what? Done unto you. If the word is that powerful, how come we are not using the word? How come we are not believing the word? He said to everyone that what? Believe it. The problem is that we doubt too much. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. We if it too much. We always, if, Lord, if it be your will. If God said it, it is his will. Have mercy here, Jesus. Oh, Lord, if it be your will, bless me. God said, I want you to be blessed. I want to give you the kingdom if I could. Come on and say, man, if you would just accept it, if you can believe that whatever I have is all yours, then you can have it. Jesus said you can have what you say if you believe. I wish I had some people that believe. I wish I had some people that had faith, because faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I got some faith, and if I got faith and the word, I mix it together, then things begin to happen. Even when people don't believe, if I believe, things still happen. The Bible said, so what if some don't believe? Does that make the word of God none effect? No, God forbid. If you don't believe, it doesn't hinder my blessing. If you don't believe, it doesn't hinder what God has for me. If you don't believe, it does not hinder the power of God working in my life. Do I have anybody here that say, I believe, even though my neighbor on the right or left may not believe, Pastor, I'm with you. I believe in the power of God's word. It's important to have a word. Salvation. It means that he delivers us from all harm and danger. He delivers us from spiritual death. He delivers us from spiritual defilement and destruction. He delivers us from the deception of the devil to make you think that God won't and that you can't. Oh, there's too many Christians always talking about what they can't do. What we don't believe can happen. But the Bible said we can do what? All. Lord have mercy. Y'all with me this morning? I can do all things through Christ that who? He strengthens me. He gives me the strength because I'm in him, because I believe in him, because it is in him I live, move, and have my being. I'm just trying to encourage somebody. I wish you would just receive it this morning. And he says he'll deliver us from all defeat. And you know what? He'll give us what we call a salvific experience, that experience that we have in God. And what that means is that whenever you were saved or salvaged, and that's what the root word of salvation is, the word salvage. I said this before, hear it again. He said, it's just like me drinking this bottle of water, taking the bottle, throwing it in the trash, and realizing that I can use this bottle. I go back in the trash, get it out of the trash, fill it up again, and keep using it. That's what God did for us. That's what he did. He looked at us and we were some trash. We were no good. We were thrown away. Our souls was a wreck. But God looked at me in the state that I was in. And the word redeem is the word anzagorago in the Greek. And what it means is that God walked through the mall of souls. He walked through and he saw us. He walked through the wrecking yard, the junkyard. And he saw us and said, I can use that for my kingdom. And I want you to know that no matter how bad you have, how bad you are, no matter how many sins you've committed, God can pick you up, clean you up, wipe you off, and when people write you off, he can still use you. Oh, come on and say amen here. And so what we have to realize is that this salvation brings us to a place that whenever we're at our lowest, God can pick us up out of the horrible pit. Come on and say amen. He brings us to a safe place. He brings us, when we're sinners, he delivers us from the sin that so easily what besets us. He delivers us in salvation for the believer. When we have salvation, then we ought to be able to lift our head into the hills from which coming our help and say, no matter what comes our way, we are still victorious. No matter how many times I face opposition, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to give up because I believe, I know in whom I believe. Some of us need to be like Job. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. I know I'm going through something right now. Tell somebody, I'm going through some stuff right now, but I know my Redeemer lives. I've been down and out, but I know my Redeemer lives. I had some bad things go on in my life lately, but I know my Redeemer lives. I wish I had somebody here say something else with me. Say, when I'm tried, I'll come forth as pure gold. Though he slay me, yet I trust in him. Though some things are happening in my life, I still trust God. Even though my change is strange, my money is funny, I still trust God. Even though they're talking about me, I got people conspiring against me, and I know they're full of the devil, but I know that it's going to be all right because God is on my side. And matter of fact, tell somebody this. Come on, talk to her and say, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Or better yet, you ain't got to say who. You say, if God be for us, that's all I got to say. Then who can be against? Oh, come on and say amen. He said that all things work together for the good of them that love God. And to the, I'm called, y'all, to the called according to the purpose. I wish I had somebody in this place today that realized that if I got a word, I got all I need. I may not have any friends, but I got a word. I may not have fans, but I got a word. I may not have, oh, come on and say amen. I may not have money, but I got a word. Oh, the purpose of the word. If I can just get a word. That's why we ought to be beating the church door now. That's why we ought to, oh, come on and say hallelujah here. That's why we ought to be running. We ought to beat each other in here because I got to get me a word, and I know once I get that word that nothing going to stop me. Nothing can hinder me. Nothing can stop this word because the Bible tells us that he that started a good work in you, Philippians 6, he that started a good work in you, he said that he'll be able to perform the good work. Somebody say amen here. If he started the work, why do you think you got to try to make it work? He said, I started it. I'm good enough to finish it. If God started doing something in you, don't you know that God can finish what he's done? If he started healing you, he's not going to let you be halfway healed. He's going to heal you. If he started saving you, oh, come on and say amen here. If he gave you some deliverance, he's not going to halfway deliver. He's going to bring you all the way out. If he sanctified, he going to give you, oh, come on and say amen. He going to bring you all the way out of your trouble, all the way out of your mess. Oh, come on and say amen. That's why you ought to be able to lift your head and say, I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Some of y'all been stressed out. Some of y'all been down and out. But God is saying, I'm giving you a word this morning that'll make you lift yourself up, get up out of the ashes, take off your sackcloth, put on a garment of praise, and lift your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting door, and let the King of glory come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Do I have any?